Last week, I started speaking about the famous question, why we're going to need the Ari Mikla, the cities of refuge, and Mashiach will come.
The Mashiach is
Sikh of the Rebbe.
One
of the proofs...
One of the rays that Rambam brings is because it's...
One of the proofs, not only are we going to have the mitzvah of Ari Mikla, the Mashiach comes... But one of the proofs in the Torah for Mashiach is from the cities of Arim Miklat. It says that when the Eibusha will widen your boundary as he swore to your ancestors, and you'll inherit the whole land that the Eibusha swore to give to our ancestors, you'll add another three cities. In other words, like this, there were three cities that were separated in Eibur HaYarden. Eibur HaYarden is the eastern side of the Jordan River, which that was a territory of Sichon and Oig that they didn't capture when they went out at the end of the 40 years before they went into Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu captured that territory, and there Moshe Rabbeinu himself separated the three Ari Miklat. Then when Eden went into Eretz Yisrael later and they conquered Eretz Yisrael proper, they separated another three. Torah tells us there'll come a time that the Eibusha will give us the land that he swore to give to our ancestors, which includes the lands of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini, which is one of the standard explanations what these three lands are Edom, Amin, and Moav, which are also, it's David Hayarden was further up, what's maybe what you call in Jordan itself, more towards up north. But the southern Jordan and further down, that used to be the three countries of Edom, Amun, and Moav, and that will become part of Eretz Yisrael, and Mashiach will come. According to some opinions, this is what Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini are. And in those cities, the Eibusha commanded us, in those countries, the Eibusha commanded us to add another three cities when we get that land. So the question is, first of all, what are we going to need the Ari Miklat for when Mashiach comes? There won't be any murder, right? There won't be even amongst the nations of the world. We say, Lo yisa goy al goy cherev. No nation will, you know, lift a sword to another nation. So how would it be that there will be murder? Even accidental murder, as I discussed last week, the Rebbe explains, would not be possible. Mashiach will come. Both because even an accidental murder shows that you don't throw the person... doesn't kill himself by accident, something which is engraved in you not to do, you wouldn't do even by accident. And somebody does something by mistake, it means that there's some evil within him that's expressing itself.
The amazing part of it, that the Rebbe explained, according to the Rambam, that's the strongest raya of the actual Rambam Mashiach.
Yeah.
It's the mitzvah, it's not like...
So, when Mashiach comes and the spirit of impurity will be taken away from the earth, it won't be possible, even accidental murder. And also, like I discussed last week, the Rebbe brings that the Gemara said that someone that's killed by accident is really, why does Eibush allow it to happen? Because he in the past killed willingly, but there were no witnesses that saw him. And the one that's going to kill him by mistake, killed in the past by mistake, and there were no witnesses, so he never went to exile. So Eibush puts them up next to meet up together. The one that killed accidentally goes up on the ladder and he falls down and kills this guy which previously murdered willingly. He kills him, so that guy gets his penalty. And the person now, when the guy that kills him accidentally, people see that what had happened, he has to go into exile. So this, even though this murder, maybe what he did wasn't really wrong, because this guy was really deserving of murder, but it's because of a previous time that he killed somebody accidentally. So the Rebbe says, how could somebody be killed by accident? He must have had he must have been guilty of murder that he should be killed by accident. Mashiach will come. How will that happen? So I discuss, there's a number of answers and approaches.
The Rebbe answers.
The Rebbe gives one of the answers. Yeah, there's other answers also. The Rebbe's Messiah and the Horus himself. There's a number of different answers, and the Rebbe elaborates upon it. I discussed this last week. I don't want to repeat the whole thing. And the simple word that the Rebbe says, one simple thing is that you could use the Ari Mikla doesn't have to mean that there was a murder that took place in the days of Mashiach. It could be a murder that takes place before the days of Mashiach, and you're going to need the Ari Mikla for, after Mashiach comes, somebody wants to avenge the death of a relative for a murder that took place before Mashiach comes. the Rabbi goes on, the main chiddush of the Rabbi, so to say, the main arichas, what the Rabbi is explaining is how is it possible that a person should have a feeling of vengeance when Mashiach comes. Seemingly it's an act of
revenge,
and the Rabbi explains it's not an act of revenge. The Torah gives him, the Torah is not just, you know, allowing you to express yourself, but the fact that you feel you want to avenge a person, that the Goel Hadam, the relative of the murdered person, wants the killed person wants to avenge his blood, is not considered a negative feeling. It's something that the Torah sanctions. But the Rebbe also brings Narizal in the Ha'ara, one part of the discussion of Arei Miklat, which leads into the deeper meaning of Arei Miklat when Mashiach comes. The Rebbe brings an Arizal. The Arizal explains like this. The Arizal says, he first starts off, he says, the Torah says, "V'im yachiv Hashem l'kecha," if Hashem will widen your boundaries as He spoke to your ancestors, and you'll add these things. So it means it's only if. The question, a lot of Mefarshim, what does it mean, "im yachiv," if Hashem will broaden your boundaries? The Torah is telling you, it could happen, it could not happen. If it happens, you have to add three Arei Miklat. The Torah is not going to give you a mitzvah for a scenario that could maybe happen, could maybe not happen. Like the Rambam says, the Torah, the Leitziva Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Eibush doesn't give, you know, command you to do that. If hypothetically you'll go to Mars, you have a mitzvah to do such and such over there. The Torah is giving you a mitzvah. It has to be something that is actually going to happen. The Torah says, if Hashem will widen your boundaries, it's not an if. It means when, as Rashi explains. In Pshuta Shemika, the word im, if, doesn't mean if, but when. But Arizal says, he gives a very interesting explanation, which also explains the im. If he says, one of the things that Arizal explains at length in Sefer HaGilgulim, he explains that there's two types of neshamas, the neshamas of Kain, and the neshamas that come from Hevel. Don't ask me to explain this, I'm not very familiar with the whole thing, but basically, there's we know that Kain killed Hevel, yeah? Why did Cain kill Hevel? We know that it's considered one of the worst, after the Chet Eitz Hadas, the next sin on the list is the fact that Cain killed Hevel. That was considered a very major sin. But it's explained in Sifrei Kabbalah that Hevel did a certain sin. What was the sin? He looked at the Shechinah. There's something there that Arizal explains. Hevel did a certain spiritual sin, and that's why he needed to. He was killed. His tikkun could only come about through being killed. So the Arizal explains at length, he goes through, he said, there's two fundamental different categories of neshamas. So those that are, I don't know what it means, physically or spiritually, I assume it means spiritually, there's neshamas that come from Kain, and neshamas that come from Hevel. And I think he explains in some places how you could tell a little difference. But, so he says that neshamas that come from Hevel, their tikkun, their full rectification only comes through being murdered. By mistake, or whatever it is. There's a certain tikkun that happens through Hariga. And he says, most of the people that we find that are killed are neshamas of Hevel. So he says like this, "What? I don't want to get into this whole discussion. The people really want is my modem actually of the Maimon of the Mittel Rebbe. The Rebbe spoke about it also, Chof Menachem of Topshin Yud Beis. The Rebbe was speaking about the fact that his father passed away before his time. He was passed away because he was exiled by the communists, and he explains the whole Indian that the certain neshamas that by them passing away before their time, that's their tikkun. Not the tikkun, there's a certain accomplishment. I don't want to get into the whole thing, it's not relevant here, and I don't think I'll be able, I don't know enough about it to explain it anyway. But Chassidus discusses a little bit this whole thing of Arizal here. But anyway, Arizal said like this, he says, the next point is more or less a famous piece. That Arizal says there's a difference between the gula could come in two ways. It could come in the way of bi'ita, it comes in its time, or it could come in the way of achishen, it could come before its time. One of the fundamental differences between whether Mashiach comes in its time, from Mashiach comes before its time, from Mashiach comes in its time means that everything is completely finished. If Mashiach comes at that point, all the birurim, all the rectifications, all the nitzotzes, all the sparks are all. When it comes in its time, means the process wasn't. Means the process wasn't. Is it still recording? The volume is on. Fine. So it means that the when Mashiach comes in its time, means that everything, simple ways of explaining it is that there's a certain cheshbon, so to say, calculation of everything that needs to, all the tikkunim, all the rectification need to be fixed up. And that's the time of Mashiach. Mashiach comes in that time, is taken care of. What happens if Mashiach comes achishena, the process is rushed up, didn't do a major tshuva. What happens is Mashiach comes in a very hurried way. So what happens is there are many neshamas that are not fully rectified yet. There are many nitzaitis that are still like, you know, like the process was rushed up. So he says like this, he says, if Mashiach comes in the case of Be'ita, you won't need the Arim Miklat.
It's Im.
Yeah, that's Im. That's why he says if. If Mashiach comes in the way of Be'ita and it's time, so then all the children of Hevel, the spiritual neshamas of Hevel, all have their tikkun. There'll be no need for anyone to be killed innocently by mistake, so there won't be a need for Darei Miklat. If, however, Mashiach comes in the way of Achishena, he comes before its time, so then there's going to be many neshamas of Hevel that still didn't get their full tikkun. So then they're going to have to get their tikkun when Mashiach comes, and that's what it means. If Hashem will widen your boundaries, you'll add these three cities. You're going to have, because you're going to have so many neshamas left, so you're going to need to have more Arim Miklat. People, the number of neshamas killed accidentally, and you're going to need to have these three Arim Miklat. Now, there's two ways of understanding this Arizal. The Rebbe says, one way of understanding it is Kipshutai. I mean, there are my modern that explain this as a whole. The Nekuda that they explain is that once the neshama finishes his job, according to the standard way, that there could be a certain nikas achitzenim, a certain klipa could get a certain level of nourishment. If a person is killed, if neshama is taken away before it fully finishes its thing, so the klipas can't get anything out of it. Whatever it means, I'm not even going to try to explain. So it's explained as the neshamas of kind of Hevel. Hevel had to dafka die before his time, whatever it might be. So, according one way of understanding it is literally, whatever this means, that there's going to be certain neshamas that for whatever reason, they bish devased, they're going to be somehow killed innocently, and that's what you're going to need Darim Miklat. However, there's another way of understanding. So, Mahsadek explains that on a totally different level, he says that the whole thing is a spiritual thing. The whole tikkun, the whole rectification for the neshamas of Hevel, and the whole idea of them being killed by mistake is not literally that they're, you know, the Pasha someone will be killed. He explains the whole thing is a spiritual thing. He says, the way he explains it is, he doesn't explain exactly what it is, but he gives a parallel. But Chassidus explains that any time a person does an Aveda, he's considered a Hoyrig Nefesh. He did an act of murder. Why? Remember, the Lord was doing this with someone. He was like, you know, he was going crazy, a murderer, whatever. But why is he considered a murderer? Because when you spill blood, what means you spill blood? You're taking away the person's chai, taking away the person's life. So when a person does an aveda, there's the adam de ketusha and there's the adam of klipa. There's the chayis of ketusha, there's the chayis of klipa. He's, in effect, he's making a wound. He's, so to say, taking out some energy of ketusha and putting it into klipa. So there's a posuk, shefich dam ha'odam ba'odam dama yishapich. Someone that spills the blood of man, ba'odam, which literally means amongst other men, in the presence of other men, so his blood should be spilled. So Chassidus explains, shefich dam ha'odam ba'odam, what's the two adams? What's the man in man? It means there's the man of Kedusha, and there's the man of klipa. So he spills the blood of one man, he takes the blood of Kedusha, and he pours it into the adam of klipa, and into the worlds of klipa. So he is doing like an act of murder. He's taking godly energy and he's taking it away from what it's supposed to be doing. He's like murdering it, and he's not only that, but he's giving it over to klipa. So therefore, any aveda is considered shevich dam adam b'adam. So what's the etzah for that? The etzah for that is that Rebbe spoke about this by the month of Elul, famous sikh about the Arim Miklat, that what's the Eitzah? The Eitzah is, a person has to go to your Miklat, the city of refuge. What's the city of refuge? It says, Divrei Teira Koelt, in the words of Teira, it says, are Koelet, they protect a person, they shelter a person from the prosecution of the Malach HaMavis, who's saying, no, this guy spilled blood, this. So the words of Torah are Kehelet. So he says that the Tzemach Tzedek says, explains that Arizal not at all in a literal way that there's going to be a physical murder and a physical, you know, there's going to be a physical avenger of the blood and this, but it's all what he doesn't explain exactly what it is, but the idea that he's trying to say is that it's a spiritual type of murder that will take place, and the rectification for it will be the three added Arei Miklat. What are the three added Arei Miklat? So he says the three added Arei Miklat represent the time of Torah, the deeper level of Torah that will be revealed when Mashiach will come. And the Rebbe elaborates upon this, that based on the concept that I mentioned before, the words of Torah are quelled, the words of Torah protect a person. And the Rebbe takes this on a step further, that according to Tzemach Tzedek, just is explaining what it means spiritually, the idea of murder, and what the spiritually means, the Ir Mikla, the city of refuge, which is Torah, and what's the added city of refuge that will be when Mashiach will come. But the Rebbe explains on a very interesting and fundamental level, the Rebbe explains that the Ir Miklat Kipshutai, the simple idea of Ir Miklat is to protect a person who, by mistake, did the act of murder. Meaning that there's a possibility that murder should be done, and he needs to be protected from the effect of his negative action. When Mashiach will come, we'll reach a higher stage. Eventually we'll reach a stage that there won't even be a possibility of sin. Which sin, like I mentioned before, spiritually is considered murder. So the Rebbe says a very interesting thing. The Rebbe says that through the revelation of Taimei Torah, through the revelation of the deepest levels of the Torah that will refine the world and elevate the world in such a way that it won't be shaykh, it won't be possible at all that there should be a spiritual act of murder, which means an aveda. So the addition of the three Arei Miklat, it's a very interesting twist. If you think about it, simply it means there's a murderer, and to protect, there's a negative act being done, and to shield you from the consequence, you have the Ir Miklat. But here the Rebbe is putting the whole thing in reverse. The Ir Miklat creates the whole, and brings into the world the concept that there shouldn't be any murder in the first place. By the person being totally absorbed in the deepest secrets of Torah, that takes away from him, that will be revealed in Mashiach will come, will take away from him the ability to do the act of murder, which spiritually is the idea of sin. So the Rebbe, it's a very interesting nekud over here. It's not pshat, there's going to be, in other words, even beruchnius, even spiritually, it doesn't mean there'll be a spiritual act of murder, and a spiritual tikkun, but it's
protection.
This will be, preventive, right. The Ir Miklat will be a spiritual prevention, which will affect the whole world, the spiritual revelation that will affect the whole world to prevent that it shouldn't be possible in the first place in a sin, an idea of sin, which is spiritual murder. That's one explanation. And the Rebbe is a whole. The Rebbe goes on to a whole different thing. This is that's stuff from Masbiz. I asked to be explained a little bit, but the Rebbe says, the Rebbe asks the question, Chassidus asks, what's going to be the point of the Loisas, the 365 negative commandments when Mashiach comes? Usually, the way Chassidus always explains, we're learning in Tanya these days, that the idea of a Loisas, of a negative sin, is not to allow that there should be klipa, the Sholosh klipa satmeis, the three complete klipas should get any sustenance from Ketusha. But when Mashiach comes, Asruch Atom Avim Noah, the spirit of impurity will be taken away from the earth. There won't be any negative forces, there won't be any klipa. So what's going to be the purpose of keeping, what's going to be the idea of not doing this and not doing that? And so the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya and Quintus Achrin that there's a deeper dimension of Leisas. Leisas is not just, the negative commandment is not just to prevent klipa from getting sustenance, but spiritually, it's the idea of gvuris ktoishis, of holy gvuris. It's a negative, which is the idea of gvura, of restraint, restriction. But it's not that you're trying to restrain something from klipa, but it's in ketusha itself, it's level of gvuris ktoishis.
Rebbe, that means it's
hard. Yeah, at least that's it. Higher than nasa. Yeah. So the Rebbe says the Ir Miklat means that. So in Chassidic terms, this is what we explain the difference between Asogas Achiv and Asogas Ashlima. There's certain things you can understand the thing outright. You can understand exactly what it is. Certain things you can only understand. For example, a human being can understand what he is. by the Eibishter, we say the Eibishter is smart. We understand the Eibishter's wisdom, no. But we just, this what we call Hasagas HaShlila, we can't say the Eibishter isn't smart. In other words, we could only understand it because you can't say it's not there, but what exactly it is, you don't know. So certain things you could understand what they are. Certain things you know that they have to be there, but you can't know what they are. Right. So whatever, again, this also needs to be explained. But
it's an interesting point. It's so interesting because the Rambam alone, the whole raya of Arei Miklat is because it's the Amitzis Asay. That's why the rings are in a separate simen. Because all the other pshatim is. All the other ayis and teira could be not a gashmistic thing. So the Rambam says no, it's a mitzvah, and mitzvah can't be leteyu, can't be ruchnisig. That has to be pei mamish. That's the ray. That's
right. The nachanami.
And over here, now the Rebbe tries to go back in.
No, but the Rebbe is not taking away from the pshat. The very important. The Rebbe is not saying that this is. The Rebbe is not taking away from pshat. I mean, in pshat, the Rebbe, like I mentioned last week, it's. For murder that was done before Mashiach, or that even in the first period of Mashiach will be possible still these things happen. But the Rebbe says that the idea of ir miklat means you absorb, koilat, it becomes part of you. So the Rebbe says that the idea of the ir miklat means that these great levels of understanding, which until now are so to say, Hasagas HaShlila, we could only understand them in the negative, like we don't understand what it is, but we know that it has to be there because it can't not be there. They'll be niklat v'oifim pnimi. They'll be absorbed in the person internally. He will understand them clearly. Whatever it is, it's psoisius, it's words that need to be explained. But I just wanted to mention that. So this is the Arizal's explanation of Yare Miklat, which, again, it needs a lot more to be elaborated upon. But, it's anyway going to be leave people with questions, and I don't have the answers for it. But that leads right away into Chassidus' explanation of the Ir Miklat. What's the whole Nekud of Ir Miklat?
It's a general question. This is a general question of Dalta Rebbe. Dalta Rebbe is, what do you need all the Inyanim from the Kabbanis and all these Inyanim? They're moving from Chet. What's Dalta Rebbe? Dalta Rebbe. So the Shad is all the negative things, sadly, is it's one that could
be right. Now, there's just one word, another word I'll just add also. The Rebbe asked, the Rebbe explains the uniqueness of the proof of Ir Miklat is that if a person, let's say, denies, a person doesn't deny that the Torah promises Mashiach. A person says, you know, Torah promises Mashiach, but I think that it's not going to happen because the Jewish people lost their chance, Chas v'Shalom. Or the Torah is speaking about some type
Hillel.
Of... Or the Torah is speaking about some type of spiritual, end of days, that some people believe in, but not that it's going to be physically with Mashiach, with a person, and all the details the Torah mentions, so on and so forth. So if a person interprets the promises of the Torah of Mashiach, he doesn't deny them. If he denies them, he's a kofer, he's a heretic. He doesn't deny them. He just interprets them his way. He thinks it was dependent on certain conditions, or maybe it should be understood metaphorically, not literally. So then, not necessarily, could you call him a kofer? Could you call him a heretic?
But he's a kofer in the halacha.
Lav dafka, halachically he's a kofer. Lav dafka is halachically, but...
No, he's a kofer in the halacha, that's what he's saying. He's not a kefir.
This is the word. But if a person, because Mashiach is part of a mitzvah, means there's one mitzvah will never be able to fulfill completely until Mashiach comes, which is the addition of three other miklat. So if a person wants to interpret a promise or a story of a Torah metaphorically, okay, we don't accept it, but not necessarily, because we go so far, we'll call him a heretic. But a person will say that when the Torah commanded us to keep Shabbos, it doesn't mean literally, you're not allowed to put on a fire and these things. It means, whatever.
Spiritual risks.
Right. So then he's a heretic because he's being moitzi, varim shamitzi kipshutan. It's not a matter of denying what Torah says, but if you deny the physical obligation to fulfill what Torah says, you take the mitzvahs out of their literal meaning, you call it a heretic. So if a person denies Mashiach, if the Torah wouldn't have made a certain mitzvah dependent on the coming of Mashiach. So then, as long as a person accepts what Torah says, doesn't say, I deny that the Torah, but I don't believe in what the Torah speaks on Mashiach. Says, I believe it, just I believe whatever it is, we lost our chance to face Mashiach. So then, not necessarily, we're not saying what he's allowed to do, what he's doing, but not necessarily will be so far to be called a heretic. But if a person denies, because now, since then, once Mashiach became part of a mitzvah, so if a person denies Mashiach, means he's saying that this mitzvah will never take place. So then he's mamash a heretic.
That's what he's saying, yeah. That's what he's saying.
So the Rebbe's, huh?
When does the Rambam say that a person who is in a mechakalei, in a...
That's right away in the beginning. But the Rebbe learns
but
that...
But then the Lashon Af Ari Nikla doesn't fit. Apa Ari Nikla, Namar. It shouldn't say Apa Ari Nikla, it should say Mishun. Shabu Ari Nikla.
So if a person, there's two things. If a person is...
It depends. From that comes the raya. Once you bring a raya, the Rambam brings a raya from under miklat, then those are also psukim. Once a person is kefir in today, a person is kefir in Mashiach, and they say it's a metaphorical, it's something ruchnius, he's kefir today not only in other miklat, it's kefir in the Teda of the Vua Bilam also. Because when the Teda clarified what the issue
is the Teda Menachem Toshin Chav Ches over here? There's a word of the Rebbe on this Va'ach, by the way. I think it's in summertime, Chukas Balach, around that thing. Chava says, I think there's a word of the Rebbe on the Va'af, but unless I'm making a mistake. But there's one more thing.
Chukas Balach is probably here. Just a second. Third. When the Teda clarifies the Or Miklat, the Rambam clarifies that the first Rayas are also strong Rayas Pel Mamish. The Raya that all the Rayas, the other Rayas, are Pel Mamish is from Or Miklat, but not that Or Miklat comes the Raya and everything else is not a Raya from Pel Mamish.
Still, Or Miklat is the Iker Raya.
The Raya, the
first
Raya
of all, the Rambam, the Lashon of the Rambam is here. It's Afu Pashas Bilam Nemar. By Bilam Yol says Af, and the Rebbe goes the whole thing on Af, so, that you want to read it up in Chassidus, it's here, it's on page 274.
So it's Mark here.
Huh?
It's
Af,
Ari
Miklet. It's Af, Ari Miklet. No, it's a no. Next one is Af, Ari Miklet.
It doesn't
have... I think it's a Lashon. I'm almost wrong.
Here, whatever, it's... the only thing you could learn af as not it happens to be also every af is another addition on the proof. Not only this, but also in other words, it's building a thing. But the point is again, if a person denies the Rambam bepash, and if you deny Mashiach, you push the kofer. But let's say a person that don't deny Mashiach, I have a whole spitzel. So then. I don't know if the Rambam is out.
In the Gemara says, when Hillel said that it's in, Mashiach is going to be David's then. So the Gemara says, the Lashon Gemara is that, I've got to go to not Lashon Amech. The Gemara says over there that the Abishah should forgive his mouth for the word words.
Yeah, but he didn't.
Because if the Rai is in the Nevi, doesn't bring Rai from Adam Miklot. Because the Nevi'im later. After Chizki Yisrael talking about Mashiach, so how can you say that? That's the saying. What do you mean? You really tell me about what Chizki? Yeah. The Nevi'im after Chizki said still about Mashiach. How can you? What do you mean? You're denying their words? That's the Nevi'im.
Just finish. Fine. I just want to finish up the kids with one word. The Rebbe explained, and at the end of that whole sicha, that was why Tak is Mashiach has to be part of the mitzvah. Why after the mitzvah of Ori Miklat? So that is a very positive word. The same way Yodim Miklat is a protection for the Goel Hadam, for the Avenger of the Blood. And it also is atonement for the murderer, for the killer, whatever you want to call him. So too, the same way there's a Ir Miklat in place, there's an Ir Miklat in time. That says a period of Yomayisa Mashiach will be an Ir Miklat, will be a protection from all the negative Tzadis of Golas, from all the Avedis that were done in Golas. So that's the special connection with Mashiach and the mitzvah of Ir Miklat. I would just finish off the Rebbe, one more thing, you know, it's getting late, but the Rebbe says, this also maybe explains why Af Parim Nikla is a separate halach. This Rebbe said in Daf Shinon Aleph. Rebbe explained in the Hadran and the Ramdam a whole thing about the second period of Yemei Mashiach, which is a high, the one first period of Yemei Mashiach is the Shleimus of world. The second period is where the world goes to a Shleimus just higher than the world. Mm-hmm. And the Arim Miklat is the Indian of Apichsidis, revelation of Chachma Kesecha, of the three Moichin, which are higher than the world. So it's the elevation of the world into higher than the world. So that's why the Rambam doesn't even use the Lashon Arim Miklat, that Arim Miklat will happen in Bias HaMashiach. The Rambam says, Arim Miklat, it says, doesn't connect with Mashiach, because it's really talking about the spiritual revelation of Arim Miklat really takes place in the second period, after... it's an interesting part, but whatever, and anyway, fine.
The whole Rambam,
the Rambam doesn't use the word yeah. Mashiach, he says, Arim Miklat to Weimer. He doesn't use the word in that halacha Mashiach. The Rambam says, was talking about the second period of Mashiach, which is not directly connected with the coming of Mashiach. It happens later. And it finds the Kiddush was 11,000 yonim b'kol mamish. Take it from your mamish.